worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seeds." "Which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All of Genesis chapter 1. Lord, thank you for the wonderful, the powerful, the mighty, and the great story of creation, which points the whole world, the universe, to you. Thank you for being the wonderful and blessed Heavenly Father, God, Heavenly Father, God our Father that you are. Thank you for being our blessed Creator who made us and created all good things for us. Thank you for the powerful story of creation as found in Genesis chapter 1. And thank you for all the truths and the insights we can draw from you, the wisdom and the understanding we can draw as we simply read and meditate on your word and listen to you as you speak words of wisdom, power, and grace into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the many ways your word guides us, molds us, shapes us, and points us to you and teaches us how to seek you, teaches us how to worship you, to give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for how that your word blesses us, nourishes us, and encourages us in so many ways. More and more, help us to be wise enough to walk in its power, its wisdom, and its grace every day. Hallelujah. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for being the Creator God. Father, you made all of creation. You made all the animals and plants, and you decided it would be good to place man as miniature lords over it. Thank you so much for that decision. And Father, we confess that we have not been proper stewards as we should. Thank you so much for Jesus that covers our sin. And thank you so much for the Holy Spirit that can lead us more in holiness, can give us power to walk in better stewardship, can give us wisdom to better understand your ways. Father, we just make ourselves more and more available to grow in your kingdom. Thank you so much, Father, for choosing to love us and help us to love others in return. In your holy, holy, holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Once again, I want to say a word of thanks to all of our young persons, the youth, the children that participated in the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. We did receive lots of speeches, and every one of them are great. Every one of them, each young person did a great job, and we're grateful for each and every speech that was presented. And just in the way of encouragement to every single parent listening, parents, if you're not really taking discipling your child as serious as you need to be, I want to encourage you to really rethink and re-pray about that, because again, when you're not doing discipling your children, you don't know what you're missing. Now, obviously, they're missing out, and you're missing out as well. Remember, discipleship is the process whereby once an individual comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, discipleship is them learning how to walk with Jesus, to walk in close fellowship with him, to become a follower and a servant, a faithful servant of his as well. So just a reminder, parents, let's take discipling our children very, very serious. And just a reminder, it's fun. It's exciting. It's great to see our children coming to know Jesus better and better, them learning how to walk with him, learning how to read and study his word, learning how to spend time with him in his word, them learning how to pray and talk to God and see God answer their prayers. What a wonderful privilege it is for us to have the opportunity to disciple our children. So let's take that very, very serious. Lord, thank you for every parent listening. Thank you for every believer listening. And thank you for the opportunity you give each and every one of us to be involved in the wonderful work of discipleship. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to share the gospel, to be able to give out gospel tracts, to be able to tell others how we came to know the Lord and invite them to come to know the same Lord that we know as well. But thank you also, Lord, for the opportunity to encourage others in their prayer life, to encourage them to become students of God's word, to challenge them to start the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Word daily, to encourage them in their walk with God, to encourage them in their life of obedience, to encourage them to live a life on mission, listening to you and doing what you say. Empower us as parents, empower us as believers to be faithfully carrying out the work of the Great Commission as found in Matthew 28 every single day, just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Yesterday, we looked at the topic, pray without ceasing, which draws from a command found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if God says to do something, he's never going to tell you to do something you can't do. But he obviously calls us to do things we can only do in the power of his Spirit and in the wisdom of his Spirit. And so we're wise to pray and say, Lord, teach me how to pray without ceasing, and fully believe and expect that he'll do just that. And so we're continuing along that theme and that line today, as today we're looking at the topic, God's Word, the book of prayer, praise, and worship. Again, God's Word, the book of prayer, praise, and worship. Now, in your mind, you may think, well, I've never thought of the Bible as being a book of prayer. Well, I think we've touched on this in the past, but the fact is, yes, the Word of God is many things. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. And so the written Word of God is Jesus as well. And keep in mind, though, also, the fact is, the Word of God is many things to us. The Word of God is food for our spirit. It's medicine. It's the breath of life. It's the power of God. And so as we're looking at the topic, God's Word, the book of prayer, praise, and worship, I want you to grow in your understanding of just what that means. Now, as we grow in our understanding of how vital a powerful weapon the Word of God is, it's good for us not only to learn new truths, but to put them to work. Remember, truth is always meant to be applied. So yes, amongst other things, the Word of God, it is food for your spirit. It's a book of faith. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book, it's an autobiography. The Word of God is a book by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so as we're looking specifically at the topic of God's Word, the book of prayer, praise, and worship, we want to encourage you to really take serious the importance of taking the time to grow in your understanding of how it's a book of prayer, amongst other things. As I've mentioned before, yes, the Word of God is a book of prayer in this sense. Remember, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. Prayer is walking in close, intimate fellowship with God as well. So when you're reading the Bible, yes, you're reading and studying His Word as you read and study it and meditate on it. But also, you're praying, you're talking to God, you're communing with your Heavenly Father. And remember this, God will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with Him. If you choose to spend 10 minutes in the Word of God today, God will spend every moment of that time directly with you. If you choose to spend 20 minutes, He'll spend all 20 minutes with you. If you spend 30 minutes, if you spend an hour in the Word of God, God will spend that full hour with you. And if you think to yourself, well, how in the world can God possibly do that? He's busy. He has a universe to run. Well, that's true. But remember this, God is God. He can do all kinds of things that we can't even begin to understand how he does them. God can give more attention to 1 billion people at one time than you and I can give to a single person. And he has no trouble doing it. God doesn't have to strain to do anything. He does it with ease. He's God. And so if you want to spend more time one-on-one with God, he'll spend as much time one-on-one with you as you'll spend with him. So spending time in the Word of God, yes, it's a time of listening to God. It's a time of prayer, a time of communing with your Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you give every one of us to spend as much time with you as we choose to. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be wise enough to spend a lot of time with you every single day. Help us to better understand that our time in your Word is literally the most valuable time we'll spend in the course of a day. Help us to be wise enough to maximize that time and to make it the priority you would have us to make it in our lives. And help us to teach and train and encourage our spouses and our children to do the same, and others as well in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, God's Word, the book of prayer, praise, and worship.
Righteousness, King of the earth, for
Of Tide Tribute with Bless the Lord. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God's Word, the Book of Prayer, Praise, and Worship. And remember, the Word of God, amongst other things also, as Ephesians 6 tells us, it's the sword of the Spirit. So the Word of God is the most powerful weapon in all of the universe. But also it's a guidebook. It's an instruction book for life. It's our kingdom manual. It's a bottle of grace. It's our kingdom instruction manual. It's a book of faith, amongst other things, too. So as we're looking at the topic today, again, specifically, God's Word, the book of prayer, praise, and worship, we're diving more deeply into better understanding how it's a book of prayer. Remember, again, prayer is talking to God. It's listening to God. It's communing with God. It's spending time with God in close fellowship. And so here, as we spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God, it's time, it's a form of prayer that's heavy on the listening. In other words, God is talking to us. We're to live in a listening mode all the time as believers, as we listen to His Word and His Spirit. Here's the words of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of Psalm 1. Psalm 1, of course, is the first psalm in the book of Psalms. It introduces us to the book of Psalms. And keep in mind, the book of Psalms has 150 psalms in it. Amongst other things, the book of Psalms is a prayer book within the prayer book of the Word of God. Yes, all of the Word of God is a book of prayer. But the book of Psalms is uniquely a form of prayer and a form of a prayer book of sorts. And it's easy to see why we would think and believe that to be true, because certainly it is. This first psalm talks about the blessings of being a student of God's Word. And I have the ability to overemphasize how important time in God's Word is for every believer. You know, in the course of a day, we think of ourselves as being busy. We have many things on our to-do list, whether it's a written down list or a list in your head. But for too many individuals, spending time in God's Word is not on that list. What a tragedy. Because literally, your most important time of the day is the time you spend directly with God. Now, as believers, God is with us all the time. The Holy Spirit's with us throughout the day. But you know, when you spend time in the Word of God, it's a uniquely important connecting time. You're tuning in to the voice of God. And when you're doing that, remember, God is not just giving you information. He's pouring grace into your life. He's touching you. He's strengthening you. He's nourishing you. So Psalm 1 is a good psalm to memorize and to read it often, because it reminds us of the blessings of being a student of God's Word. I want to take time to read it one more time, and I want you to listen to what God says about what a blessing it is to be a student of God's Word, a believer who's wise enough to spend time reading and meditating on Scripture. And yes, as you read and meditate on it, yes, you're praying as well. You're communing with God. You're spending time with God. Psalm 1, once again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, the blessings of being a student of the Word of God. Note again the third verse. Note again what it says. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Isaac, wanted to ask you, any thoughts that come to your mind that you wanted to share at this time?
I feel like the more I read Scripture and the more I think about Bible stories and commands, the more everything seems connected to the Genesis story, just the first few chapters. For one, like how Jesus walked in the garden. He was there present with Adam and Eve. That's the goal to return to. Whenever we go to heaven, he'll make a new heaven and a new earth. It's not just us and our spirits going to a spiritual place. It is God is going to make a new physical realm for us to live physically with him again. And so whenever we're going to the Bible in prayer, we're looking forward to that closer relationship, that closer proximity. Right now we see opaquely. What's that verse, Pastor Joseph? It's like right now we can't see the full picture.
In 1 Corinthians 13.
But we will get to. Mm-hmm. And so right now, let's enjoy everything that the Holy Spirit has to offer for us to spend time with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I also think that in all of that, the more time we spend with God, the more we see the wonderful works he has done, the more mm-hmm. we see how much he has loved us, the more we see the weight he carried, carrying the cross for us, carrying our sins for us, and the more we're just going to worship, the more we're just going to praise.
Mm. And you know, just a powerful point directly related to what you just spoke of, walking with God. One of the ways whereby in this life we walk with God is as we spend time in the Word. When we're reading and meditating on Scripture, it's as if we're taking Jesus by the hand, listening to him and walking with him as well. And you know, we can spend 3 minutes walking with Jesus, or we can spend an hour walking with Jesus, or we can spend longer walking with Jesus. But the act of taking the time to read and meditate on Scripture is so productive. It blesses our lives in so many more ways than I think any of us really grasp. So the wisdom of taking that, making that time is just so important.
One of the things I think our culture has a problem with is undervaluing the significance of God's Word. So in our culture, if we say something, we might not always best represent what we say. I might say or think to myself I have certain qualities, and I might not have a very accurate assumption of who I say I am. Mm-hmm. But with God, who he says he is and what he says is 100% who he is. So Jesus is the Word of God. He says, I am love, and Jesus is the perfect expression of God's love. We see God walking in the garden. That was a perfect expression of God's love. Mm-hmm. So whenever we go to Scripture, we're not just going to Scripture just because it's a fancy religious text. We all need to go to Scripture together with a mindset of, I know God is perfectly who he says he is, and I want to spend time with him.
Mm-hmm. And we become more and more like him as we spend time with him in his word. And that a powerful point really that you're just touching on too, Isaac, that God's word is love. If we want to grow in our understanding of how to live a life of love, we need to spend more time in the word of God who is love and who all molds and shapes us to become more and more like him who is love. And so that should clearly be a goal for each and every one of us. And so again, as we look at the Word of God as being a book of prayer, yes, it's heavy on the listening, but we're spending time talking to God, communing with God, and he's, as we read and meditate, we're giving God the opportunity to reach into our heart and mold and shape us to become more and more like Jesus, who is love himself.
And the more we practice that, I heard a pastor say one time that obedience is... basically shows us more about ourselves, because the more we obey God, the more we learn about who we're supposed to be made to be. The more we learn about our new godly identity. Mm-hmm. The more we walk in obedience, the more we actually tangibly experience our new identity. And so how powerful is that to think, oh, I'm just this kind of a person. Oh, I have these struggles. But then to step into obedience in Scripture, step into prayer, step into relationship with him, step into loving those who are in need. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus says, if you're loving them, you're loving me. To step into that realm of ministry and then to see, oh, this is who you've made me to be.
That's exactly. You know, I'm going to take time now. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34 is a unique chapter in all of the Word of God. It tells us, you could say, the final chapter in Moses' life. I'm going to take time to read it now. Deuteronomy 34, beginning at verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I've caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all his servants and in all his land. And by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Verses 1 through 12, all of Deuteronomy chapter 34. Now, in the Word of God, Moses is a towering figure from the moment he's introduced in at the beginning of the book of Exodus all the way to the end of the Bible. He's a towering figure. Yet in so many ways, we can see Moses was kind of an ordinary person still who loved God and walked with God. And so we'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, God's Word, the book of prayer, praise, and worship. We'll be right back. Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and the only way to receive eternal salvation. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, God's Word, the book of prayer, praise, and worship. And as Psalm 119 verse 105 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God is speaking directly to us. The Word of God, amongst other things, is God's microphone into our lives. And God will talk to us as much as we'll listen. So whatever amount of time you spend in the Word of God every day, God will spend all that time with you speaking words of wisdom, power, grace, anointing, encouragement, insight, and so, so much more. So reading and studying the Word of God daily is so important. We pretty regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least three chapters in the Word of God every day. And, you know, of course, that could be it could be one chapter that a person reads three times over. It might be three different chapters, but that's a good basic spiritual meal. But for many believers that are, you know, that much wiser, they may decide that's just not enough for me. Great. You can't get too much word each and every day. So we would encourage you to do that. Remember, when you're reading the Word of God, you're breathing the breath of life. You're inhaling the breath of life, which blesses every part of your life. You're just receiving the grace of God in a wonderful way. So remember, taking the time to get into God's Word every day is so, so important, so productive, and will bless you in many, many ways. So reading and meditating on His Word daily is important. In looking at the life of Moses, again, in many ways, Moses was an ordinary person, but he had an extraordinary calling. But keep in mind, every calling from God is extraordinary. Every calling from God is a great calling. God doesn't give out mediocre callings. All of his callings are great, and he gives each and every one of us one or more callings, tasks, things he's entrusted to us to do that he uniquely equips us and anoints us and empowers us to do in our lives. And so Moses, like all the rest of us, had an important calling. Initially, when God first called him, as we read the story in Exodus chapter 3, when God calls him through the burning bush, and keep in mind, of course, in a sense you could say God called him long before he was ever born. But at this point, Moses is 80 years old, but God calls him through a burning bush to go back and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses initially is reluctant. He's thinking, I can't do that. How can I possibly do that? And initially, it looks like he really wants to tell God, no, God, you got the wrong guy. How much, as we read and study Scripture, that we see Moses in ourselves. We too often may think when God is calling us to do certain things, God, I'm the wrong person. I don't have the gifts, the strengths to do that. I don't think I can do it well. Lord, find somebody else. That's what Moses said to God. God, please get somebody else. And actually, how did God react? God got angry. Because keep in mind, God is never wrong. If he called Moses to do certain things and he calls each one of us to do certain things, God is not going to make a mistake. And the Bible says the call of God is without repentance. So it's as we spend time communing with God in prayer and spend time, of course, part of that time in prayer is time in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to be encouraged to accept our calling and to walk it out. So time in the Word of God helps us to move into the call of God, the purpose God has placed on our lives. So spending that time in God's Word is very, very important. And note the unique ways in which God used Moses. When Moses did decide to go ahead and obey God, God not only used him to go into Egypt and lead the children of Israel out, but also God used him to be the pastor of the millions of Israelites that left Egypt. And he guided them. He was their pastor and prophet in so many, many ways. And during his time leading the children of Israel, there were times, of course, as Scripture points out, Moses would go up on Mount Sinai and spend time directly in the presence of God. There's mystery in this, but when the Bible speaks of Moses talking to God face to face, we may not fully grasp what that means because of what Scripture says about our inability to see the face of God. But again, God's word is always correct, even when we don't fully understand it. But Moses spent a lot of time with God. In fact, one of the results of Moses spending time with God is God gave Moses, he downloaded or he dictated to him the stories and the accounts all the way from Genesis to the end of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wrote all five of those books that we know as the Pentateuch, and they comprise about 20% of the whole Bible. So Moses wrote about one-fifth of the whole Bible, and no other writer comes even close to having written that much. But Moses spent time with God. He spent time, yes, communing with God in prayer, interacting with God, and God did a lot of important things through him. God gave the world the Ten Commandments through Moses as well. And so Moses spent time with God. He walked with God in his presence, spent time with him receiving his word, spent time with him in prayer, and God used him mightily. When you and I are wise enough to spend a lot of time in prayer and in the Word of God, God molds us and shapes us to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he helps us to carry out our calling and our purpose as we spend time communing with him. How important it is that we make it the priority God wants us to make it in following him as well. Isaac, was there anything on your heart that you wanted to share about any of those insights?
Sure. I think that there is something beautiful in the story that you shared at the end of the last segment, the end of Moses' life. He gets to see the promised land, but he doesn't get to go in. And I'm just sitting here imagining a man full of faith, seeing the boundary, seeing the promise ahead of him, knowing he can't go to it, but absolutely believing that God has something greater in store. And it's just such a beautiful picture to me of God saying, I want you to see this so that you can believe in it, because that's something beautiful. And it honestly reminds me a little bit of the beginning of Jesus's ministry, when his mother says, hey, like, we're running out of wine at this wedding. Do something about it. And he's like, it's not my time. Jesus only does what he sees the Holy Spirit doing. That means the Holy Spirit saw Jesus's mother's desires, her needs, and changed plans for what she needed. And I feel like that attentiveness to, hey, Moses believes in something good. I want to give him something better to believe in. Mm-hmm. Mary, the mother of Jesus, needs something good, and let's provide for that. And I think that that right there is a major motivator for us to spend more and more time in prayer, knowing how attentive our Heavenly Father is to our needs.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that, Isaac. And, you know, again, looking at the different people in Scripture, again, too often we may think of them as being people that are supernatural, but they were ordinary people that served an extraordinary God. And all of them, everyone's calling is an important one as well. Amen. Reading now from the book of Psalms, Psalm 146. Keep in mind, the Word of God is a book of prayer. It's a book of praise and worship as well. God's Word teaches us and encourages us to worship our wonderful and blessed Heavenly Father. And Psalm 146 is one more tool that helps us to do just that, to praise and worship our Heavenly Father. Psalm 146, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to this earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Then going on to Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. And then finally, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you again for your word, which is such a gift to us in so many ways. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is you and you are your word. Thank you for the truth that your word really is a book of prayer. A book of prayer, praise, and worship. More and more, teach us and empower us to be the people of prayer, the church of prayer you've called us to be. Help us to be the people who live a lifestyle of praise and a lifestyle of worship that you've called us to as well. And help us to know, Lord, that as we simply walk with you in your word will teach us, mold us, guide us and shape us more and more to become the servants you'd have us to be. With every passing day, more and more help us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. Thank you for the gift of your word. Your word, which is a book of prayer, praise, and worship. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ and asked him to come into your heart to save you and make you brand new, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make the step of asking the Lord to save you, to make you brand new, so that you'll be sure that you're going to go to heaven when you leave this world, if you want to make that step, would you pray this prayer with us now from your heart? Give your life to Christ so that you can spend all eternity in heaven with the Lord as well. If you'd like to make that step, would you pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to walk with you in obedience daily. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we would like to connect with you. We want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you make that step and email us again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Again, today our topic was God's Word, the Book of Prayer, Praise, and Worship. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.